Hope we understand that in ourselves we can do absolutely nothing. We cannot teach or preach or receive the word except you help us. So, Father, we come to ask for fresh mercy. In particular, I strip myself totally, entirely, completely of every confidence I may have, what I know, what I prepared. All of that doesn't matter now. All that matters is your mercy to be faithful. And you help me to bring forth this word as a word in season. Lord, a word, Lord, that will, Lord, write your will upon the hearts of all present, myself included. And wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power, the Spirit of God, will back it up. So there will be hearers as well as doers of the word, and therefore be blessed by the same word in the name of Jesus. I also ask that I speak, you will help me to speak precisely and concisely, so I will not waste time, I will not say anything unnecessary. As I preach and teach this word, you help me to bring forth a word in season, Lord, cause it to come forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, yet in the love and the comfort of your Spirit, that our minds be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills be more submitted and humble, and our emotions be more controlled and tempered by the precious fruits of your Spirit, especially in love, in the name of Jesus. I further ask as I speak, your power and presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our wills, Lord God, minds and emotions, Lord God, to align with your perfect will. And truly be worshippers in spirit and in truth, in the name of Jesus. And finally, Lord, I ask for mercy. I humble myself under the anointing of my fathers. I duck under the anointing, and I ask, Lord God, that their mantles be put upon me to enable me to bring forth this word as they would were they here personally. And as I speak, let the word go forth as a river of refreshing, a river of life. Lord, ministering life, Lord God, unto all that hear it. Lord, all of us, but especially unto them. As they eat and drink of this vine which they have planted, you will cause them to be abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because you will not lie to David. You're not a man to lie, and now you're the Son of Man that repenteth. We thank you, for you perform the fullness of your will in our hearts through this word today. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise you, the Lord. What a wonderful privilege to be in the presence of the Lord God. Amen. It's a question of desire. What seekest thou? Amen. Well, the message that I bring today by the grace of God, as you may have guessed already, is an offshoot of the word, the thoughts that God gave me as a result of the word that came at the watch night service on the 31st of September. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, were here on that watch night service. And this word comes as a result of when I was asking the Lord, you know, what to preach. I believe this is what he spoke to me concerning this year, which has been already proclaimed a year of a dispensation of grace by a mummy. She said that earlier. So when she said that, this was about, I think about a week or two ago before the actual date that was preached by a pastor. When she said that, this year is a year of dispensation of great grace. I was so excited because by the grace of God, God had been speaking to me and said, this is a year of the manifestation of those who have been perfected in grace. It's grace for perfection, and 3 times 5 is 15. So perfection of grace will be made manifest. And that's what God has been doing already. We've seen the signs already. But this was a proclaimed a year of a dispensation of great grace. Pastor also spoke on the mighty works of God that's going to be done through us in this year. And then it all came together on that watch night service. And with the Bible spoke and ministered on the fact that this is a year of great grace for mighty works. So that in this year, by the dispensation of great, or you can say abundant grace, mighty works, the favor of God, mighty works will be done in our lives, firstly, as Pastor said, done for us, amen. And then later on, as time goes on, done through us, amen. How do we want to do mighty works in this day? All of us, amen. Hey, for this purpose you were born, to give witness to the works of God. That's our purpose. The Lord Jesus said himself, this purpose was I born, that I might give witness unto the truth. And it's not different for any one of us. Because we are being made in his image and in his likeness. So this is it. So tell your neighbor, hey, brother, sister, it's going to be a great year for you and I. A great year of mighty works done first for you and then done through you by the abundant release of mighty dispensation of the grace of God for mighty works in Jesus' name. And the people say, Praise the Lord. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is, in my understanding, that season has already begun. Amen. In a measure, from all the events we saw marking the end of the 2014 in this church, I'm referring to the manifestation of the glory of God in Tuluwa and Tuluwa Tusin's wedding, the abundant, there was so much grace released. The favor of God was released mightily upon this house and the fathers of the house in particular. We'll be talking more about that. God's favor upon the fathers of the house. We all saw it. We saw kings come to the brightness of there and our rising. We saw the manifestation. Everybody I've spoken to thus far. My cousin came from America. I know she's in the service. She came from America and she came and she called me and said, everywhere I've been going, I've been hearing about this, your wedding. What happened? What happened? Said, everybody saying this? Said the one lady, I'm not going to name her, the one lady, she said that she has never seen anything like it in all of her years. Said she's been all, and this person has been all over the world, said it has never been so seen. You know, that's what they said about Jesus too. Say, we have never seen such in Israel. Mighty great. But see, the favor was poured out upon this house, specifically now, poured out upon the fathers of the house. Now, we all partook of it. Give me, I want to show you, there's a principle I want to bring out here. Give me, we'll start in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17. Help me, Lord. So I believe it's a short message, but I believe it's a wonderful thing we need to see. Philippians chapter 2, verse, sorry, please, chapter 1, verse 7. Philippians 1, 7. 1, 7. 1, this is 17. Thank you. Look, Lord Jesus, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He was writing to the Philippian Christians, and this is what he said. He said, even, let's read it together. Even as it is meet for you, for me, to think this of you all, because, now check this out. Watch this. He says, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, look what he says. This is where I'm going. Ye all are what? Partakers of my grace. What is he saying? He says that because I have you in my heart, whether it's good or bad, I have you in my heart. I'm carrying my womb. The grace of God upon me, all of you partake from the same. That's exactly what happened. Give me NIV. Look what it's on. Give me this in NIV. Which means that, NIV, thank you. Look what it says. All of you share, excuse me, all of you share in God's grace with me. Who, upon whom was the grace poured out on? Paul. But who shared in it? All the Philippians. That's exactly what happened that day. The grace of God was released mightily upon this house. But it came through the fathers. They were the I say we don't get grace. Yes, you get your own grace. But I says, how shall you receive your own if you are not first faithful in receiving that which is another? And it was for grace too. There was a mighty outpouring of grace. And all of us partook of that grace, even though all of us were not where they are in terms of perfection and fullness and development in Christ. But we saw that grace. But the underlying condition for sharing in that grace was to call Paul a spiritual. That's why fathers are so important. Bible says, you have not many fathers. So as a spiritual father had the Philippian church in his heart, so they drank from the grace of God that was upon his life as their father through, now check this out, through a heart connection of submission to Paul. And that's exactly what we saw here that day. Because of the grace of God, hey, it's always through the fathers. Get that right, too. Get that right. You've got to get it right. That's why we're preaching this. Now, it's true, there's a grace that comes upon you. The Bible says each one of us has received a measure of grace. Yes. But you see, the reason why that grace comes upon you is because there's a covering. And you are under that covering. To the extent that the covering is there is what causes the abundance of grace to be manifest. So because of the grace of God upon Paul, the whole Philippian church was enjoying that grace. Amen. Divine protection, preservation, the ability to do things well, to worship God, all these things, the word of God. Amen. It's so important and it's critical in this season of dispensational grace. So because of the grace of God upon our Abraham and Sarah, the whole church under submission. Please don't be silent today, because we're going to talk about submission. We're going to talk about things that People normally are silent about. And mommy has already told you. So if you are silent, you'll be disobedient. Say, you are an obedient child. And you say many amens. As we talk about submission and humility today, in Jesus' name. Mommy says, when we shout about prosperity, you say we should be shouting about grace. Hey, it's grace that through submission that brings your prosperity anyway. But that's what we're talking about. So through the grace of God upon our Abraham and Sarah. That's why the Bible says, look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you hear. Why? Verse 3, it says, because the Lord is about to comfort Zion. Which is that comfort in Zion will come to those who look unto Abraham and Sarah. See, because him God called. You are called too, but under their grace. Do we understand what we're saying? So, that's why we all in this house walked in such a grace. So men who came saw, they felt, they heard, and they basked in the tangible presence of the glory of God. You know, we're praying for divine organization. We saw it. We're praying for divine strategy. We saw it. We pray for divine intervention. We saw it. We pray for divine provision. We saw it in abundance. Everything was divine. And the people they could not express it well. Somebody said that Jesus, God was moving around among us. That's what the Bible says, you know. Christ in and among you, the hope of glory. Because of the grace. Dispensational grace. So it's true. You and I labored. Yes, we labored in prayer. We did all that we were instructed. But it was not what we did, but what God did through us by his grace and mercy. Amen. Apostle Paul said the same thing. I labored, yet not I, but the grace of God. That was why we're talking about grace, because grace is going to be so critical in this year. Amen. I labored, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So it was the grace of God upon all the house through the fathers that brought the manifestation of the glory that we all witness. This is critical. And I believe the Lord will have me to share a particular scripture that will mark your thinking. I believe very strongly this scripture, because the Lord reminded me, I had it in my heart, you know, when I was doing the watch night service, as the Lord was speaking some of these things to me. But this one will mark your thinking. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 6. Help me, Lord. Are we getting something out of this? We're talking about, well, the title of this message, I think I wrote it down, is Receiving Great Grace for Mighty Works. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But even after, come and see me. See me afterwards. I may change the title. I don't know. Let me just assume. Amen. So here's the word that the Lord gave us. Let's read it together. Children's children are the crown of old men. Now check this out. And the glory of children are their what? I don't know if you have the American Standard Version. That one says, grandchildren are the glory of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers. And give me this in NIV. Let me see what it says. I don't know if you have the... Oh, yeah, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. It's great. Look what it says. It says, children... No, this is ESV. Children should have the glory, and the glory of children are their... Yeah. Well, it actually says sons in the one I saw, the one I checked online. Says, and the son, the glory of sons are their fathers. Give me this in the NIV. Let's see what it says. Yeah. Children are a crown to Egypt, and parents are the pride of the children. What this means is that as you look up to your parents, it is the glory of God. What you are going to become is what they are. Hello, somebody. What your parents' physical, what you see is the glory that you will inherit as you grow up to become like them. Amen? Even the natural is the same thing. When the parents, you know, they have this earthly glory of inheritance, the children are still babes. But they know that somewhere along the line, they are going to inherit everything that the father and their mother have. Amen? So your limitation, hallelujah, the Bible says the servant is not greater than his master. The child cannot be greater than the father, but the child can be as great as the father as he grows. And then when he now becomes his own father, he now begins to grow beyond. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, the works I do, you will do, and then greater. It's the desire of every father that his children succeed and beyond, go beyond him. Amen? So we see this, the glory of children are their fathers. So we need to always rejoice with and have great joy and seeing what God is doing in the lives of our spiritual parents. Amen. Because, hello folks, it's their glory that you're going to inherit. Yes, initially. Until the time appointed of the Father. And then God will step you out and you need to inherit your portion and begin to grow from there. Do you understand what we're saying? This is very important. Why is it important? We'll see in a minute. Amen. Okay, so this. And the other thing that God said to me to do is this. He said that Jesus said the same thing. Yes, thank you. Jesus said the same. He said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given unto them. Them who? Them the children. So we see that it's a principle that runs through Scripture. The other thing that I believe the Lord had me bring out is when in the same John 17, if you can find it for me, Jesus was speaking and was praying to the Father. He said something very strange, very different, which many Christians may not acknowledge, but it's a fact of the truth because the word of God cannot be changed. He said, those whom you have given me, he said, thine they were, but you gave them to me. You don't understand what I'm saying? Every single disciple that God received, God gave it to me. God, it wasn't that the disciples went. It wasn't that, yes, they happened upon a place, but even in the seeming coincidences, it was God working. Bible says the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Which means that even when you are drawing lots, the one that draws the shortest draw, it is God that ordained it. So you're not here by accident, folks. I said that in the Bible study. You're here because God gave you to Abraham and Sarah to bring you up. To first of all, keep you under covering. Raise you up until the time he appoints to release you. But until that time, you are under their covering. You're under their grace. The grace upon their lives flows from them to you. Even when you don't know that they're doing it. How many people were here when Pastor Ty was preaching? Pastor Ty Adishua. That man is blessed. He's as much as a son of, maybe even more than some of us here. It's different flavor. But you can see the prophetic grace. You can see the understanding of the word. He didn't know Pastor. But all the while Pastor was praying, the graces of Pastor were flowing because his heart was open. Have you remember the guy who was not with Jesus and disciples? Was doing exactly the same miracles? Jesus said, that man cannot speak to me lightly. I'll mean lightly. I'm painting a picture and I want you to understand this. Because it's very important. Okay, so we got that now. Now, so we rejoice. We look to Abraham and Sarah as they do mighty works by dispensation of great grace because we're going to do exactly the same. Amen. So now we're in 2015, this year, this season. Year of great grace for mighty works. And in this season, we must know what Israel ought to do. The Bible talks about the men of Issachar who had the knowledge, said they were men. Since they were not children, they're not babes. Amen. Who had a knowledge of the times and what Israel ought to do. Now, I want to bring a word out from 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's a very familiar verse, but I want to bring a word out to show us that for each season, particularly this our season, there's an attitude we must have to partake of the season. Amen. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3, give me verse 10, please. 2 Peter 3:10. We know what this particular phrase, it has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when God comes to recreate the heavens and the earth, when the whole earth will melt and so on and so forth. But there's something that I want us to see that, you know, is very, very important as we proceed on this message. It says, let's read it together. The day of the Lord. Now that day of the Lord has many different applications. The day of the Lord is not one day. It's an interregnum of 1,000 years or thereabouts. Amen. As says, a year, the Lord is 1,000. A year, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. May the Lord not come to you as a thief in the night, though. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are then shall be. All this prophetic. I can't get into this, but that's not the issue where I'm going. Next verse. Seeing then, what are you seeing? What you see will determine how you behave. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and God? In other words, what you see should determine what you become, how you conduct yourself in a particular season. Now, there's an attitude of conduct for a particular season, depending on whether or not you perceive that season and what is in it. There are a lot of people who are going about today who don't have a clue what's going on. Many in the church, they don't even know the time that they're in. All things continue. I say, well, let's just keep marrying and keep on marrying. And thank God for marriage. I believe in marriage. But something is about to break forth. For those who are looking, Bible says he will come to those who look for him. It says, when you see these things, what are you seeing? When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for you know your redemption draweth. But if you don't see anything, you can't lift up your head. So there's an attitude for the season. Give me this verse 11 in NIV. That's what it says. Give me NIV first. Look what it says. Since everything will be destroyed in this way. Now, he asked a question. It's a rhetorical question. What kind of people ought you to be? In other words, as you see these things come to pass, there's a kind of conduct. There's a lifestyle you must embrace. Do we see that? He says, what kind of people ought you to be? And the answer is, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you see what's coming. Okay. So, this is it. So the essence is that as we come to an understanding, seeing that all these things have been prophesied, the prophecy of the year of great dispensation, of great grace for mighty works, there is a way, an attitude you must have to live quietly a godly and holy life. As you give me this in, let me see, is it NIV? Oh dear, I saw there was a translation here I was looking for. Okay, never mind. Let's leave it as it is. I can't remember the translation. Okay, so this is what it says. Now, so since everything in this way is going to happen, what has been prophesied, this year of great dispensation for mighty works. Since this has been prophesied, since we now have a revelation understanding of what's going to happen, we ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to this day of the dispensation of great grace for great and mighty works. And not just look, but also speed it's coming. That's in verse 12. So let's now amend this verse. So now let's read it together. It says, since we have come now to this prophesied season of mighty works through the dispensation of great grace. Now, question, what kind of people ought we to be? Ask your neighbor the question. In this day of dispensation of grace, what kind of person do you think you ought to be? Now, this is the answer. Now, I tell you, this is the answer. We ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the mighty works, the mighty deeds and wonders that will be done for us and then through us in this day of dispensation of grace, and hasten its coming. That's the answer. So, in other words, we do what we do or we don't do, or what we do well or don't do well, everything has an impact now, particularly in this season we are in. Amen? It reminds me of the scripture that Pastor shared from John chapter 6 when he was preaching. He said, these people have come to the Lord to ask for fish. They had eaten fish, and then Jesus crossed over to the other side. So they came looking for Jesus, wanting to eat fish. And Jesus says, look, don't labor for what is going to perish. What you need to labor for is the meat that endureth unto eternal life. Then I asked him, what? See, that's another thing. They asked him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Because in other words, when the Lord Jesus opened their eyes to see what they were doing wrong, oh, help me, Lord. The first question they ask is, so what do? Okay, we understand that we should not serve fish and seek fish and whatever, and meet that person. How do we do it? And that's the question we are asking today. We have a word from the Lord that we are entered into a day of dispensation of grace for mighty works. Okay, fine. What do we do? Like the apostles in the book of Acts, what shall we say to these things? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? So there's something we must do. And the key, as I said, is attitude. We need to have an attitude of three things. Four things. One, watchfulness. Two, humility. Three, submission. Four, obedience. I always like to look for things in scripture that explain what I'm trying to explain. Was that too fast? Sorry. Okay, I wrote it down here. An attitude of watchfulness. In other words, Don't just relax. Bible says to be sober, to be vigilant. Amen. Watchfulness, humility. We all know that. We'll get back to that. Amen. Submission, and then obedience to every instruction that we give. I was looking for, you know, ways to explain it. And the Lord gave me this example in the time when Lord Jesus came to earth. Of all the people in Jerusalem at that time, in Bethlehem at that time, the only people that knew, other than Mary and Joseph, that the Lord Jesus had been born at that day were shepherds. But I say they were shepherds in the field watching over their flocks by now. Now you say it's ordinary shepherds, but it's not just the shepherds. It's a powerful symbolic truth that God is bringing out there. In other words, the advent of what God is going to do, the manifestation of, in this case, the consolation of Israel. The Bible talks about Jesus. Also, the Bible calls Jesus the glory of thy people Israel. Amen. The manifestation of the consolation of Israel, the glory of God, the downloading of peace and goodwill towards men. All men on the earth missed it at the time it happened, except a group of shepherds. Seemingly people weren't very much esteemed. And what were they doing? They were out there in the fields. They had left their comfort zone. They were sitting in the fields, looking over, watching over all that had been committed to them faithfully. I said, these ones I want to tell. I want to reveal myself and my glory to these ones. That's what we have to do as shepherds. They were out there at night. Everybody else was sleeping. And it was a cold night too. Hello? It was a cold night. In nights in Israel, they're cold, temperate, in temperate climate, in that time of the year. But God manifested to himself through his angels and showed them that something was happening that they needed to leave that place and go and witness and be part of. Forever is in scripture, their names. We don't know their names. But I'm sure somewhere in heaven we'll meet some of those guys. I said, I was one of those shepherds. Why? Because they were faithful in the attitude that was necessary to be partaker of that season. Do we understand what we're saying? Everybody's looking at me funny. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's an attitude, folks. There's something you have to be doing to partake of this season. We'll get to that in a minute. Amen? Same thing with Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. We all know them. Bible says both of them were brought in by the Spirit when the Lord Jesus, of all days. One day, they came to dedicate Jesus in the temple. And the two people that God had been using, one was told that he was not going to die until he saw the consolation of Israel. The other was just praying, fasting and praying for years. Nothing had happened. But on the day that there was a manifestation of what God was doing, the Spirit brought him. That says, he first of all brought in Simeon. Simeon saw and said, now let thy servant depart in peace. It says, at that same instant, why? The attitude for the season, to partake of that season. There were lots of people going in and out of the temple. Some of them would have bumped into Joseph. They would have seen the Lord Jesus as a child, maybe in the hands of the father or mother, but they didn't know what was going on. They didn't have the attitude. They didn't have the requisite heart inclination to partake of that season. God will not deliberately bypass anybody that wants to partake. So it must have been that they qualified by the attitude. Are we getting something here today? Talking about the heart attitude. Amen. So these are it. This is it. So they came in by the Spirit. The Spirit brought them in. And they were plugged into what God was about to do. Not in the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because of the right attitude of humility and seeking the Lord. Question. How does all this relate to us, Pastor Wigger, in this new year and all that has been prophesied? Again, let's understand that this is a year, great dispensation of grace for mighty works. First for us, and then through us. So the question is, how do we, individually and as a body, tap into this season and receive the great grace that has been dispensed, or you can say grace be multiplied, grace and peace be multiplied to you, to us in this season. So not just here only, but also other members of the first fruits. We're not the only ones, though. I'm sure you know that. The other people in the first fruits of the Zion Church is about to arise from beyond the rivers of it. How do we tap into this season? How do we receive this abundant grace? Well, God's grace, unmerited favor, is given only to one set of people who have the right attitude. The Bible says, grace. Give me 1 Peter 5:5. Grace is given to People don't like to talk about humility. Everybody looks at me at home. Are we back there again? Folks, that's the key. And there's no other key. Thank you. Master key. Likewise, ye younger, let's read together. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Is it only the elders or the young ones that submit? No. What it says next line. It says, yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be... What does that mean? Stop. When you... you will not do it in Jesus' name. But if you are naked, what will they see? When somebody sees you on the road, a person that is naked, what do you see? You see the skin now. You see the nakedness. But if you are clothed, they will see the clothes first. So in other words, when it says you are to be clothed with humility, it means you hide your nakedness under the banner of humility. So when anybody comes across you, the first thing they know is, this guy is so humble. There's something. You know, I've seen that happen when I watch Pastor Mommy. Those guys. With all that God has bestowed upon them. You know, it's easy to get puffed up because they have revelation. God has blessed them, blessed their seed. But yet, you still see Mommy. She said, Kabusa, this is sir. So I used to wonder, I said, how on earth can... But you know, God is having mercy. I'm beginning to tap into that grace. Ting, ting, ting. So maybe I'll now see somebody younger and I say, Epalema. So I just remember Mommy. You know, it's amazing. I'm telling you the truth. This is how it works. Because if you are connected and you desire, somebody said to me once that, you know, that he said to me, when I grow up, I want to be like my father. I mean, he was talking physically, you know, but I thought, that's a physical thing. When I grew up spiritually, I want to be like my father and my mother. It was just a thought that came to me. And I went, I think it was myself and my wife who went somewhere the other day, it was just something that happened. I wasn't planning on doing it. I went to see someone who's the wife of an Egbon of mine. And I'm older than her. She knows it. I know. We all know it. But you know, because her brother, her husband, was an older brother to me, I was using air for her. Emma. Thank you, sister. I was calling her sister. I said, brother, even Egbon sister. It's not like that. But please just call me my name. No. I said, no. I said, the principle is that your Egbon and you, my Egbon and you are one and the same. I cannot be calling him and him Laru Kamo Aluri. You are sister, no matter what happens. He said, okay. I didn't say that to get applause, but I want you to know that there's a grace that is flowing from the head. Inside. And it's not something you just find yourself doing these things without understanding why. You've done it already before you know what goes on. Because of the grace. Because of the thing that's flowing from the head. And so you are clothed with humility. And you are being clothed with humility. He said, because God resists the proud and gives what? Grace to the humble. That's how you're going to get this grace. James 4:6-7 says exactly the same thing. Say, God gives grace to the humble. And, you know, then now says, submit yourselves. Verse 7. Grace to the humble, submit yourself. So you can get grace to be humble. Amen? As you humble yourself. So, the doorway to great grace... Help Lord. For mighty works is great humility and submission to the revealed will of God, which incidentally comes through the word and through spiritual oversight. Thank you. One amen. You see, this, I told you, Mom, you should say amen. I said, the grace will come to you through submission and humility, submission to the word that comes from God and through spiritual oversight. All right. Even that humility itself. You see, that's the test of humility. But I say humility is doing the will of God when you don't feel like it. Why you don't want to say that amen? That's what you say, amen. Now we're getting it. Thank you. More amens are coming. Thank you. Amen. It's increasing. Amen. Children, say amen. Amen says, I believe and I receive. So you receive that humility in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the best example of humility we all know is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the exemplar of humility. Give us Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We just want to read that. Hallelujah, somebody. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who be in the form, he wasn't thinking he was God. He was God. Who be in the fall of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Next verse. But made himself. Who did it? He made himself. And we're going to have to do the same. Made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. Can you imagine from the form of God to the form of a servant in one? Nothing in between. From God to servant. Ye are all gods, but the servant is the greatest. You two have to come down the same way. Yes! God has made you a God in him. But he says, the servant, he said, Jesus said, I did not come to lord it, I came to serve. That's the humility speaking. We need to get there, folks. We will get there in Jesus' name. And he was made in the likeness of men. Men who he had created. He took on their likeness. Next verse. Next verse. Wherefore, because of this degree of humility, and the same will happen for us too, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name. We're talking about the name of the Lord Jesus in Bible study. Which is above every name. Next verse. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Why? Because of humility. Because he made himself. He humbled himself. Now, look at verse 12 where we see what we are supposed to do to follow after his example. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, Paul speaking, but now much more in my absence, this is what we need to do. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Next verse. For it is God which worketh in you to will and do of it. So you work out your salvation as God works in you to bring you to a place of humility, meekness, and lowliness, and submission by his power. So, the point is that humility is the key. So how do we develop humility? Again, the scripture is very, very clear. How do we get this humility that will cause us to enter the dispensation of great grace and mighty works? Give me Psalms 35, verse 13. Very clear. Psalms 35, verse 13. Now, this is where we're going today. But as for me, this is David speaking. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I did what? I humbled my soul. How? With fasting. Hello, somebody. Welcome to a year of fasting and prayer. Now, you've been fasting and praying before, but this one is going to be different. Mommy spoke about this on Watch Night Service. The soul, the mind, the will, and emotions is the enemy of humility. How many people know that? When you decide to humble yourself, something that will just rise up. It's a sin nature. Bible says the spirit lusts against the flesh there being the sin nature, the mind, will, and emotions, and in the physical body. And the spirit lusts against the flesh against it. So that these two are contrary. The mind, the sin nature of the mind is contrary to any aspect of humility. Because it's pride. That's the nature of the devil. Amen? So there's always a constant fight. There's always a constant fight. So the only thing that can silence it is fasting and prayer. See, people are happy about that one. Folks, let's just get this right. Humility is not going to drop on you like ripe cherry. You're going to have to fight it through. You're going to have to work it out. That's what I said. You will work it out. That salvation has been the cleansing of your mind, will, and emotion, your physical body from this sin nature as God works in you to do that. Amen? It's not just going to come. In other words, this dispensation of grace that has been proclaimed, which we have seen and partaken of, will only come in its fullness in our lives when we cleanse up that sin nature from our mind, will, and emotions, and our physical body by humbling ourselves through fasting and prayers. Let somebody say amen. Reminds me of that song that Pastor Dave likes so much. Let sense be dumb. Let flesh return. When that happens, then God will speak to you through the earthquake, the wind, and fire. You hear what he's saying. I venture to say that many of us don't hear as we should because our bodies, our minds, will are still full of this same thing. So we don't see, we don't hear. So when things are going on, we're just looking as a spectator. Whereas God wants to be a full participator. You participate fully in this year of dispensational grace in Jesus' name. Those mighty works those mighty deeds be done in you and for you in Jesus' name. But you gotta crucify that flesh. You gotta break that attitude of pride by fasting and prayer. Amen. And I want to say in Jesus' name, I've tasted this to some degree. Some of the greatest times I've had is after we've been on the 7-day fast. I want the guys to know what I'm talking about. When you start off, your body, your mind, if I want to tell you there's a 7-day fast, I need yay. 7K. Ah, I ready to meet you. Oh, two. When we all load ourselves, in those days, we used to go 7 days. When we all load ourselves in that bus, we know there's no turning back. By the time you're on the road to home, though, in Baba Finn's house, and they say, thank you very much, sir. By the time you get there, you're saying, ah, hey, seven. If you're counting, okay, today is first day. Tomorrow is second day. Ah, third day, Wednesday. Yeah. So the Friday, no. No food. Hello, you have not been there. I've been there. But you know what happens? As that fasting takes place, I begin to pray, begin to travail. You know that sinage is being flushed out by the power of God. By the time you get to, you know, there's one scripture that always obtains, at least in my case that I know, says the first and second day I cast out devils and do cures. But on the third day of that fast, perfection day, I found out by the third day, my body's light, I'm not hungry again, I can think clearly. I can't even think a contrary thought. By the fifth or sixth day, it's like you're floating on the wings of the Spirit. Amen? What's happening? You're becoming more humble. That sin is just being removed, being flushed out. And you're becoming gradually more humble, more in line with what God is. You can hear God. Amen? Then when we go to Jebutu, there are times when I don't even know where the strength comes from. After a whole week, you're tired and you're sitting in that bus and you're going, ah, Lord, mercy, I let you. Ah. You drive to Jebu, you have a long time to think about what is coming. I know when mommy starts, she doesn't stop. We just go. But you just hang in there. But you know what happens? Somewhere along the line, the time of refreshing comes. We didn't get there today, but the time of refreshing study, you now begin to feel refreshed. You begin to wonder, where was all that, you know, this that was going on, all the resistance in your body? It's a sin nature of the mind, the will, and emotions. By fasting, you humble yourself. And as you humble yourself, as you minister, as the Lord begins to minister you in that meekness, begin to hear, begin to see, God begins to speak to you, it becomes a time of fellowship with God. And then God can release grace. And that grace takes you through. So, we're not talking about, at that time, there's no physical energy. Ah, let me give you a story. How many people remember? I don't know. I think it was some of us. When we had the 3-day fast with no water. I think it was just the intercessors, right? A 3-day fast. See, Pastor Jesus, boy, Pastor Jesus said, ah! I will never forget that. My first fast without water. Now, I know some of us here, I say, bidi bidi, but I had never done bidi bidi. No water. No food for 3 days. Hey! Me and I drink more than 2 bottles of Ragulis every day. 2 or 3. Standard. No water. Oh boy, I thought I was going to die. But I didn't die because I'm here. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. There was no extra energy for saying one word other than what I had. Somebody said, Pastor, how you? I said, fine. Shall I just say, no. Is it okay today? Yes. Are you tired? Yes. Is everything okay? Yes. No strife. No strife at all. If you want to take all my possessions, just carry go. Everything is yours. Just leave me alone. I'm going to pray tonight. There's no power. But you know what happened? After the second day, there was a recharging. There was a rejuvenation. Now, I still couldn't talk too much, but I knew that something had happened. What? Your soul had been humbled. Grace had been injected. After the first or the second day, the devils and the demons have been gone. You know, you cast out devils, you do cures. There were cures going on. So the third day, I thought, hey, okay, it's okay now. It's okay now. We can do it now. What happened? Grace. Because you humble yourself. Are we getting something out of this? So this is it, folks. Now, unless we want to lie to ourselves, we begin to close. You know, I was so blessed when mommy spoke about the need for a new attitude to our fasting. It hit me like a boom. When she said on that, they said, most of our fasting stinks. I said, yeah. You were not here that day. Did anybody else hear what she said? I said, Lord, have mercy on us. Who said it? Said those, said our, much of our fasting stinks to the Lord. And we're going to enter into this dispensation of grace and this time of great miracles and great works done in through us. We have to shape up and shape out all that's junk in our fasting and get to a place where we actually, you know, do the fast. Not the fast that we want to do, but one that pleases the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the reason why it doesn't please the Lord, and so interesting, she was talking from Isaiah 58. I was, as we were preparing for the watch night, I was reading that part of that place. I didn't read the whole chapter, but I said, why am I reading Isaiah 58? You're doing fast now. Like, let me read something else, Jerry. Not knowing that that was where God was going to bring the word from. So when she spoke, I said, yeah. Which means, number one, I miss God. Number two, God has been trying to tell me that I'm one of those who fast things. Oh, none of us here. Okay, all right. We will read the scripture, and then you can measure yourself. I decided to go and measure myself, and I said, Lord, guilty. Isaiah 58, please. We all know it. You know, it's good to do things the way God asks us to do. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Let's all read together. Cry aloud! Spare not! Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. And the house of Jacob. What was the transgression? What was the sin? Wrong fasting and prayer. That's why the voice came on that watch night service. It was a prophetic, trumpetic voice to us. Transgression and sin in fasting and prayer. Look what happens. What has been happening. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Hello, somebody. Does this by any chance resemble anybody here? Oh, see why I say yeah when mommy mentioned that word. Because I read this and I said, ah, Lord, have mercy. Said they delight in approaching to God. All of us delight. Ah, fasting and prayer. Yeah, come on, fast. We seek the face of the Lord, man. But it's not that simple. And this is the Israel asking verse. We say, wherefore have we fasted, saith thou? And thou seest not, wherefore or why have we afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge? And God responds to them, says, behold, in the day of your fast, ye what? And you what? Hey. Let's read on before I come to that. I'll come into that. Look at this, verse 4 says, behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with a fist the wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? To spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will that call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, look at this. He's talking about what they do when they fast. He said they afflict their soul. They spread sackcloth and ashes. They lie on it. They have all the outward accoutrements of fasting and prayer. But God said, this is not the fast that I want. Now, they look good fasting. They do the fasting on the outside. Like the Pharisees. Says they fast. I remember that Pharisee who came to the temple. And the guy fasts twice. Can you imagine? Fast twice a week. And he said, I'd mouth to be abusing and accusing somebody. He didn't say a word, though. It was in his heart. He said, I thank you, God, that I am fast. I mean, I fast. I'm not like this publican here. It's unbear. Me, I fast twice a week. Give me that scripture. I have fasted. I give tithes of all I have. I'm righteous. The guy was justifying himself. Bible says he was talking with himself. God wasn't listening. That's when he left that place. The guy who was abusing as a Republican or unbear, like you know how we say in these days, that was the one that God, he said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. All of that man's so-called righteousness on the outside could not hold a candle to the repentance in the heart of a guy who didn't even do the fasting and praying. What are we talking about? Talking about fasting is on the outside. You know what he says? He says, you find your pleasure. And all of the fasting and prayer day, you are doing everything you normally would do on that day. Wrong. I'm talking to myself too. Say, you find pleasure on the day of my fast. Some people can't leave our mobile phones for less than 5 minutes. We must continue to believe what we must answer. We must answer. Some of them are fasting and praying and they're playing on their phones. Hello? There's nobody that does that. Hello? Now, I know there's some times of emergency. I've done it too. But, folks, if I'm fasting, anything else has to wait. Unless God gives me specific permission. Like Mama will say to some of the intercessors sometimes, hey, if God permits you to go and not to come on this fast, you can go. But she's not giving me permission. She says, you can go. If God, the intercessors are laughing because we all know. I say, this fast, though, me, I can't give you permission. But if God gives you permission, you are free to go. Find your place. Says you exact all your labors. You profit in your businesses on your fasting day. Now God is a God who teaches you to profit. But there are days he says, thou shalt not do any servile work. Shut it down. Shut it down. Am I not the God that prospers you and that teaches you how to prosper? If you give me one day, won't I give you back many fold? So why do you raise your business and all the things you do above me? Mercy, Lord. It says you fast for strife and debate. You want to fast, and during the fast, you fight with somebody. They are quarreling. You know that debate doesn't have to be overt. It could be in the heart. Some people will fast to show that they are fasted, and then they can come and demonstrate how their holiness. We were fasting and praying for about 4 days the other day, you know. And the Lord spoke mightily to us. Say, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice be heard on high. Say, this kind of fasting, your fasting will not allow me to hear your voice on high. Hello, somebody. Is anybody here that's guilty? I think I am too. That's why this stinks. That's why God said, don't bring me any more vain oblations. This day is a day of grace. And if we're going to enter this grace, this is one of the major things we must correct. Mommy, you estimate the distinction between a fast to receive and a fast to become someone. And that one hits me like a ton of bricks too. You know, we all have this, help me Lord. I will close in some help, you know. We all have this idea that when we fast, some people fast to kill their enemies. To have power. Holy Ghost fire! That's a fast. Not of the Lord. We have this idea that except when there's some things, you know, we fast for power. Now, it's important to do that. You can do that. But you see, it must not... How do I say this without sounding as if I'm... The power, that says, you know, this kind cannot come out except by fasting and prayer. So, you know, there is a basis in the scripture for that. But it should not be the power to cast out devils and all that, that we should be seeking during the fast. The fast is to seek the face of the Lord exclusively. When we now seek his face and he hears us, then he will give us the power to cast out devils so that those things that we need to get out of our lives will go out. But you see, the fast is not primarily to get power. The fast is not... Oh, help me. I'll read that in this next verse. You see what I mean? Your fast is not internally focused, even though the results will be internal too. First of all, most importantly of all, the fast is outwardly focused. Give me verse 6. Verse 6. This is God talking. Help me, somebody. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? What kind of fast? To loose the bands of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To do what? Let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke. Next verse. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Is it not to, when thou seest a naked that thou cover him? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? The fast is, the result is to God outwardly directed. And the Bible says, when God who seeth in secret, he will then now reward us openly. And all these other things we're believing God for will come to pass. But the fast is to God, first of all, to fulfill God's will in the earth. You know, the fast is not, I won't eat. I read this somewhere on the online when I was, you know, preparing. He said, it's not, the fast is not, I'm not going to eat. But the fast is, I cannot eat. Because we are so consumed by what God is wanting to do upon the earth, that food takes a minor, secondary, tertiary, quadrillion role, a insignificant role to your passion to see the will of God and His kingdom come upon the earth. So that issue of not eating food is, you know, denying yourself. Yes, it gives you power to pray properly, but the essence is not, I'm not going to eat. The essence is, I cannot eat while there's so much that God wants to achieve on the earth, and it needs my spirit. And the power that I generate in my spirit in a fast to do. Different paradigm shift. Do you understand what we're saying? Amen. So this is the fast that pleases God. The fast is outwardly directed. And it makes us more like Jesus. Perfects in us the God character and love for Him. And this is demonstrated in our love for men who have needs. Who are made in the image and the likeness of God. Simple as that. And it's as we humble our souls with this correct attitude in fasting, that with an emphasis on bringing succor to others, the Lord will now begin to minister unto us. Look what He says in verse 7. Are we following? I'm going to close soon. Some people are looking at me as if, Pastor G, Shebuguila Ramachi. Folks, let me tell you, this dispensation of grace, this is the key. This is the key that will, that humility, shakaba, that humility must come. Because it's only by humility that we can tap into this great grace. And we need to break down all these strongholds. You know, we have these strongholds in our minds concerning what fasting brings. So we'll come to fast. I've seen this. Now, you know, there's a stage in which we're all growing. But if you're doing it for years and years and years, you need to get out of it. I've seen people come to a time of fasting and prayer with food for the last day. Hello, you have never seen it before? That food is waiting in the car. Or is waiting in the, well, I don't know, wherever they are. The cooler is there. On their way home. Hello. We've done it too. I'm talking also from experience. By the time, you get in your car, there's a car waiting there. Or maybe some poly or something, you know. So that when the fast is broken, it's truly broken. Nobody has ever done that here. Except me. I'll be okay. I'm guilty. Hello? Means you are just, you see, what that tells you is that you are just waiting for pastors to say amen. You know, that time we're rejoicing and you just had your hands up, your mind was inside the cooler. We've been there too. We've done it. But God has mercy on us. And God will have mercy upon you too. I can never forget my first fast. My first 24-hour fast. This is a man who's been for 33 years and has never fasted a day in his life. At least, well, my mother used to teach us to fast till 6 p.m. But at 2 o'clock, this is not possible. How can a person not eat for 6 hours? How about? But my first 24-hour fast, I smelt dodo and sausages at 2 a.m. in the Bulija International School. I said, I don't need to know. 2 a.m. And sausages were frying furiously somewhere. And it was just wafting. I had to leave the window because I thought it was coming through the window. I went to the back of the auditorium to pray. I was still smelling it there. Hello? Been there, done that. But God will have mercy. Now, look at the result. Let's close. Help you, Lord. Verse 8. Now, if you do the fast as He has instructed, the fast that pleases Him, look what the Bible says. It says, then, not before, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Revelation knowledge. You know, I always test that thing. Sometimes it works, and I must say, sometimes it doesn't. When we do our fast, either a 3-day fast or a 2-day fast, or, you know, you fast from Tuesday to Wednesday, like, you know, during the week, like pastors do. I always look for something, because pastor said it once, that by the time he fasts 2 days, at the end of the week, some God just drops revelation to his heart. And I say, okay, I'm going to be watching out for that. Now, for many years, many weeks, many months, I didn't get a revelation after my fast. But of recent, I began to see that it's true. When you do the fast, now there are times when you don't do it well. But when you do it well with all your heart in this way, and you maintain that attitude throughout of humility or whatever, by the end of the week, a word will come. You just open the Bible and someone just leap out at you as if you've never read that Bible before. And begin to connect scripture to scripture to scripture and bang! This is what he's talking about. If you are not getting revelation knowledge as you should, maybe you need to fine tune your attitude in fasting and prayer. Help me, Lord. It says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Let's read together. Verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the Lord shall be your rear guard. You want to see the glory? Fasting and prayer. You want to see the mighty deeds of God? Fasting and prayer. That's what's going to bring it. By humility, and then the grace comes, and then all these things begin to be demonstrated in us. Then thou shalt call, the Lord shall answer. If you think God is not hearing what you're saying, try this. Do this. He will hear you. Maybe it's your, as if your sins have separated you from him. And the Lord shall answer, thou shalt cry and shall say, here I am. If, conditionality, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger and the speaking of vanity on the fasting day, I put that there. If thou shalt draw thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, he repeats it again, then thy light shall rise. In other words, focus upon what God wants to do in the lives of others. Mommy said something like that, I marked my thing. He said, I cried out unto God and God called unto men. How? Can you imagine? She wasn't looking for men, she was looking for God. But because she sought God, 21 days, respect me, fasting. Ha, 21 days. We could get there one day. God called out unto men. Says, if thou draw the soul to victory and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness will be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, not once or in a while, continually. He will satisfy your soul in drought. All these make fat thy bones. You'll be like a water garden, a spring of waters, waters fail not. They that shall build this shall build the old waste places. You will raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repair of the breach, the restore. These promises are not, this is God talking. This is God giving you the promise of correct fasting and prayer. We're talking about mighty deeds. These are mighty deeds that will be wrought in your life. Amen. God will make fast your bones. You'll be like a watered garden. All they that be of this shall build the old waste places. You shall be raised up of many generations. You shall be called to repair. These are mighty works coming as a result of humility, grace, the grace that comes from humility because of fasting and prayer. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, he repeats it back, goes back to where he was starting. Taking of your, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Tell your neighbor the Sabbath is a delight to me in Jesus' name. In this year of great grace, the Sabbath is a delight unto me in Jesus' name. I will call it a day that is honorable. I shall honor him. I will not do my own way. I will not find my own pleasure. I will not speak my own words. And he said, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. And Lord will give you desire to be heart. God will cause you to ride upon the high places and feed thee with all these mighty deeds because of fasting and prayer. Are we getting the picture here? Alright, we're going to close now. Now, I saw this and I thought, wow. Recall, how many of you recall when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? That said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon and rested upon him. Give me, as in Luke chapter 3, somewhere there. But I said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and rested upon him. And, you know, John said, yes. You know, upon him whom you see the Spirit of the Lord resting, it is he who is going to, you know, who is the Messiah. Amen. What I want to get is this. There was a voice that said at the same time, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, I would have thought that once this endorsement came, had taken place, instantly, the mighty works of God begin to be demonstrated through Jesus. I believe that. I mean, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's not man talking, it's God. So you would expect that immediately that happened, God, Jesus was began to do miracles. What do we see? Luke chapter 4 verse 1 and 2 says, the Spirit immediately led him into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in fasting and prayer. I said, Lord, why? I said, yes, he was perfect. I said, but I had to prepare and fully test him. And that singular aspect of humbling himself caused him to return. The Bible says later on, I don't know if it says, he returned in the power of the Spirit through fasting and prayer. And the Bible says, the fame of him went all the way out around the region around about. What do we say? We have seen the heavens open in this house. Help me, Lord. We have seen what it is like when God wants to honor those he wants to honor. Literally in this house, we have seen the heavens open and the Spirit of God coming here to witness through our fathers that they are his beloved sons in whom he is well pleased. That's why we saw all that we saw. It's not because of you. Thank God for you. But it was an attestation to the grace of God upon our oversight. That's why I began with oversight. I want to finish with the same thing. And we all partook of that grace that was upon them. Amen. But now, we have been ushered into a dispensation where now God wants to bring forth not just an attestation that these are my beloved sons and daughters in whom I am well pleased, beginning with the head of the house, but also God now wants to begin to bring forth mighty demonstrations, miracles in your lives and then through us in the lives of others. And the key that's going to open everything is humility. That humility that comes only when you do fasting and prayer. And then of course you must exercise yourself also. Not just fasting and prayer. When you fast and pray, you must exercise. Like I gave the example of, you know, my exercising myself to call somebody who I know is younger than me. Just like mommy and pastor do. That's exercise. She doesn't have to do it, but she does it. She doesn't have to call sir and, two people who are younger than her, who are not as fortunate by the help of the Holy Spirit as she is, still humble herself. Yes, sir. Yeah, I see it so often. I say, wow. What a word is this? Pastor, the same way. No strife. So that grace, that anointing or grace will come upon the whole house. Not just the fathers. Now the fathers have begun it. But it's not going to go from the fathers to every nook and cranny of this house. Every one of them will partake of this grace. So that these mighty miracles will be done first of all in us. And then through us. And then men will see what the whole world is waiting for. The manifestation of the sons of God. And like the Lord Jesus, the fame will go throughout all the regions round about. We'll be a witness to God, first of all, in our own Jerusalem, that is our own physical body, our own lives. Then in the church, Judea and Samaria. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what God is doing, folks. This is the season that I believe the Lord has proclaimed to us. A season of great grace. For mighty works and miracles, first of all, in us and for us, and then through us, as we delight ourselves in the Lord in the time of fasting and prayer. Humbling ourselves. And the key, as we said, is a cloak of humility. One final word. To do these miracles, I just want to give another example. It just came to me now. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise up Lazarus, one of his mightiest deeds. What did he do? Spent 2 whole days fasting and prayer. Did Jesus not fast and pray before? Of course he was. But he understand that the kind of grace, as I said, this kind cannot come out by fasting. The kind of grace that will be necessary to bring that out will require 2 days of fasting and prayer, not only to release the power to bring it to pass, but also put him in a state where that power could flow without hindrance through him. And so it happened. And a man who had been dead and stinking, decomposition had set in, 4 days, came out of the grave. And it was loosed and it was let go. What do we say? Folks, we're in a time of great miracles and great grace. Let's humble ourselves. Let's bring forth the mighty miracles of God in this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. taking a little bit more time than I planned, but I believe the Lord has had us do this. Very important. I believe this is the key, folks, the cloak of humility. Let's ask the Lord to help us. It's not something we cannot do, but it's going to be done by the spirit of meekness, spirit of humility, submission. These are things that in most places they don't even preach. They don't even hear about it. Submission and care. We are privileged. We are privileged to be a part of what God, we are by the grace of God on the cutting edge of what God is doing. So for us, thank God for the culture we have in this house. You know, we have parents who are, you know, great proponents and great practitioners of these things. We can see the grace upon their lives. We can see the glory now. It's not even something that people are telling us. We see it. People who don't even have any revelation knowledge, any understanding of what's going on, they saw it. How much more we who have been taught, we see it. And for us, it's a first taste, first fruits, first taste of what God is about to do in our own lives. The glory of the fathers, the glory of children and their fathers. We must humble ourselves. And grace will be given to us to be doers of these things. Let's determine that this year is a year where we spend preparing ourselves for the coming glory of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Speak to God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Thank you.
to what the Lord has spoken to us today, put a hand upon our hearts. That's where it's all going to take place, in our hearts. Heart of humility. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we cling to the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that this is a year of receiving great grace for mighty works. I understand that in this year, you will work great and mighty deeds, first of all in us, and then through us, as you manifest your glory. And so I come to ask for mercy to be faithful. And Lord God, you help me, Lord God, to humble myself by seeking your face in fasting and praying, not seeking my own words, not finding my own pleasure. Lord, turning away my foot from doing my pleasure on your holy day. Help me, Lord, to honor you, Lord God. Lord, not to speak my own words or to find my own pleasure. Lord, in this new year of the abundant dispensation of grace for mighty works, you will help me, Lord, to call the Sabbath a delight, honorable of the Lord. And so, Lord, as I do this, you will cause, Lord God, me to do the fast that you have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, so that, Lord, my light will break forth as the morning. My health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness, your righteousness will go before me. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of great, mighty works, will be made manifest through me in the name of Jesus. I understand this, and this is the key, the cloak of humility. Lord, the key to receiving the great grace that is to be dispensed in this dispensation of grace, so the mighty works will be wrought in me and through me in the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for this understanding. I trust you for mercy to be faithful, grace to be diligent, and the help of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Jehovah Makadesh, you who sanctify the saint, come and sanctify me in this year into this holy purpose. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Risen down of the Kofika Sekos Kuma. Zalamu mene. Kere solo kofika ta. Risen down. Pum pa. Rembele braba katapuza. Rambali brama sala. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Under the covering of the Father, the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God give us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And we prosper in all that we set our hands to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds by the revelation of the Word in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live and not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, the perfection and fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, Lord, impart unto us the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Just tell your neighbor, say, you receive great grace for mighty works in your life, in Jesus' name.